I don't know if you've heard of the fella's name or not. His name is John Ortberg. He's a preacher. He used to be in Chicago. Now he's out in California. He's a Christian author as well. And he tells about a time when his wife rented a movie. The movie was Cliffhanger, starring Sylvester Stallone. And in the movie, have you ever seen the movie? Yeah, quite a few of you have. Cliffhanger, Sylvester Stallone. It's set in the mountains, really, really cold, you know, snow-capped mountains. It's, like I said, really, really cold, intense stuff going on in the movie. And Ortberg said, for some strange reason, Stallone just could not keep his shirt on during that movie. Couldn't figure out. He said, like five or six times, there's Stallone, no shirt on, everybody around him, snow-capped mountains, they've got parkas on, and there he is without a shirt on. I mean, Stallone, right? Rippling muscles all over his body, biceps, triceps, quads. I mean, he's got it. He's a full package, right? And they were watching the movie, and this is what he said. They were watching the movie, and his wife would look at Stallone without his shirt on the TV screen, and then she'd look at him. She'd look at Stallone, and then she'd look at him. She'd look at Stallone, then she'd look at him. And then finally, in the middle of the movie, she says something like this. She says, you know what? I've never really been attracted to well-built men. He said, for years now, I've been trying to find the compliment in those words, but I just can't come up with it yet. See, here's the deal. Some of you guys back in the day, you were well built, right? Amen? In your 20s maybe, your 30s maybe. But the thing of it is, to be well built like that, guys, you've constantly got to be training. You've constantly got to be toning up the body. But after a few decades, the muscles seem to go. You don't train as much. You don't keep your body up as much. But the thing of it is, you've got to work at it in order to keep a well-toned body. It's all about the training. Now, how many of you would say that this afternoon, if given the opportunity, you could go out and you could run a 26-mile marathon? Anybody in here could say that? Very few. None of us could say that, right? None of us could say that. Yeah, and you know what? Probably none of us could say that we could run a mini marathon today, right? But I would venture to say that in 6 months' time, let's say 6 months out, if you train enough, you would be able to run like a mini marathon, like maybe the mini in Indy in May for the 500. You know, if you trained long enough, you'd be able to run in the mini marathon. But the thing of it is, you've got to make the conscious decision in order to train, in order to run in a mini marathon. You've got to be willing to work at it, and training is the key. And the same thing is true when it comes to the Christian life. The same thing is true. Are you spiritually fit as a Christian? Are you spiritually fit as a Christian? Are you growing as a Christian? In fact, our key word today, you'll hear it time and again, our key word today is the word go, or I should say grow. That's the key word for today. Are you growing as a Christian? And so today, as we seek to grow as Christians, I want to ask you three very basic questions. And here's the first basic question I want to ask you. Why are we to grow? I mean, that's just a basic question, right? As a Christian, why are we to grow? And I assume because you're a Christian, you have the desire to grow. I assume that. Why are we to grow? First of all, growing is the only way to live. It's the only way to live. You may or may not know this, but you're either growing or you're dying. Did you know that? You're either growing or you're dying. There's no middle ground there, growing or dying. No middle ground. Did you know that the cells in your body have a limited lifespan? Did you know that? In fact, your cells in the body have a limited lifespan, and when those cells in the body die, other cells then begin to grow. They have a limited lifespan, but they begin, other ones begin to grow. When your cells, though, in your body stop growing, what's going to happen? You're going to die. It's all over. You're either growing or you're dying. And that's true physically. And that's true spiritually. You're either growing or you're dying. Listen to some important words about spiritual growth according to the Apostle Peter, 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3, this is what he says. He says, you must grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And then check out these words with the Apostle Paul, Colossians chapter 1. There he says in verses 9 and 10, we ask God to give you complete knowledge of his will and to give you spiritual wisdom and understanding. Then, he says, the way you live will always honor and please the Lord, and your lives will produce every kind of good fruit. All the while, you will grow as you learn to know God better and better. Now, most of you, I would say, well, most of you may not know this. My job description, you know where my job description is found? My job description is found in the Bible. Is your job description for your job found in the Bible? Probably not. However, stop and think about this. Your job description as a Christian is actually found in the Bible. It really is. It's found in the Bible. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 12 and 13, there the Apostle Paul is writing the Ephesian church, and he gives them the responsibilities of leaders in the church. He says there in those verses, their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and to build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. You see, that is our goal in the church as leaders. That's our goal. And then Paul goes over in Romans chapter 12 and he says these words. He says in verses 1 and 2, I plead with you. He said, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the fine he will find acceptable. You see, this is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world, but let God transform you into the new person by changing the way you think. Let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. And then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Now, if you go back to Ephesians now, chapter 4, verse 14, he says, if we'll equip the church to grow, then, he says, we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with the lies so clever that they sound like the truth. You see, a lot of Christians today are a whole lot like a teenage girl who wants to get married. A teenage girl goes to a wedding. She sees the bride walk down the aisle and she thinks to herself, you know what? I want to get married and I want to get married really, really bad. And then she says to herself, you know what? I want to have a dress just like that. I want to be queen for a day just like that. And she's thinking to herself, you know what? I don't want to be married, but I want to get married. I don't want to be married, but I want to get married. And so let's say someday she actually walks down the aisle. She gets married. I mean, everything rolls out just the way she wants it to roll out. And after the pastor pronounces them husband and wife, she turns to the pastor. She says, Pastor, thanks so much for marrying us today. I really do appreciate it. Thanks a lot for conducting the ceremony. And then she turns to the congregation. She says, folks, thanks a lot for coming to church today. Thanks a lot for coming to my wedding today. It happened just the way I envisioned it in my mind. I really appreciate you coming. And then she turns to her groom and she says to him, as she sticks out her hand and shakes his hand, she says, thanks a lot for the wedding today. Thanks a lot for marrying me today. You have saved me from a life of singleness. And then she turns on her heels and she walks out the side door of the church and she hops in her Uber and she goes home. Later that night, she's sitting at home. She's thinking to herself, you know what? Mission accomplished. I did it. Mission accomplished. I got married, but I didn't want to be married. Now, a lot of you are probably scratching your head at this point going, what's the point of all this? Where's he going with all this? Here's my point. There are, I think, a lot of people out there who say, I want to believe in Jesus. I want to get baptized into Jesus. And so they believe in Jesus. They're baptized into Jesus. But that's where they leave it. That's where they leave it. Just because you believe, just because you're baptized into Jesus, it doesn't mean that you've arrived at your final destination in Jesus. You see, there really are a lot of people in our culture who think that since they believe and since they're baptized into Jesus, they've arrived at their final spiritual destination. But that's just not true. You see, as a Christian, we need to constantly be growing in Jesus Christ. You see, growing, it's the only way to live. And then here's a second thing about growing. Growing is the only way to produce fruit. It's the only way to produce fruit. Some of you may be going, well, wait a minute, producing fruit, what are you talking about? Apples, oranges, bananas, what are you talking about here? Kiwis? No, Jesus uses this analogy in John chapter 15. And let's look at this analogy that he talks about. He said there, beginning in verse 1, I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit so they will produce even more. Down to verse 8, he goes on, when you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great joy to my Father. You're connected to Jesus. You're connected to the vine. The more you get to know Him, the more you get to know Him, the more you love Him, the more you serve Him, the more you grow to be just like Him. You see, there's fruit. There's fruit that's produced in your life. And again, you may be going, fruit, what are you talking about? It doesn't make sense. I don't get it. Let's get to that part right now. It's called the fruit of the Spirit. That's what we're talking about. It's called the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. God wants these fruits. God wants these characteristics to grow in your life. Let's look at these verses, Galatians 5, 22 and 23. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Let's read these out loud together, shall we? The Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Look at that list. Are any one of those characteristics growing in your life? Are any one of those characteristics growing in your life? I hope you can say, you know what? I've got a few of them there. Maybe you're here today and you say, man, I got one of them growing. I hope you don't come away from looking at those and saying, you know what? I don't have any of these growing in my lives at all, in my life at all. You see, here's my point. These are characteristics that God wants to be growing in your life. And if these characteristics are growing in your life, that's a good barometer for your spiritual life. It's a great barometer for your spiritual growth. Jesus said this in Matthew 7:17. He said, a good tree produces what, church? A good tree produces? But a bad tree produces bad fruit. A good tree produces good fruit, a bad tree. You see, there are two different kinds of fruit. The first fruit that we're talking about right now is the fruit of the Spirit, those characteristics. Galatians 5, right? In fact, write that scripture down, would you? Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Galatians 5, 22 and 23, the fruit of the Spirit. In fact, that would be a great verse for you to memorize. A great verse for you to memorize. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That'd be a great verse for you to memorize. But here's a second fruit that we're talking about. It's called the fruit of reproduction. The fruit of reproduction. You are reproducing your faith in someone else. You're helping someone else in their faith journey. You see, as we grow to be more like Jesus Christ, other people will look at us and other people will go, you know, you got something there. I can't quite figure it out, but you got something in your life that I'd like to have. You see, you become attractive for Jesus Christ. See, that's why we've constantly got to be growing. Christ-like behavior attracts people to Jesus. Non-Christ-like behavior pushes people away from Jesus. It pushes people away from Jesus Christ. Some people, and you've probably, and maybe you've had these, I don't know. There are some people out there who have the ichthus symbol on their car. You know what an ichthus symbol is? Garrett, you do. You do. It's a sign of the fish. Exactly right. Sign of the fish. It tells other people that you are a Christian as you're driving down the road, right? I have never had one of those on my cars, ever. Nor will I ever have an ichthus or a fish symbol on my car, ever. Have you ever seen the bumper sticker, honk if you love Jesus? I've seen a few of those back in the day. I saw a lot of those. Honk if you love Jesus, right? I have never had a honk if you love Jesus on my bumper of my cars. Never, ever. Nor will I ever have that on my cars. Now, if you have those kinds of things on your cars, the ichthus, you know, the fish or the bumper stickers, that's okay. I'm not going to throw stones at you. That's okay. But for me, there's a reason why I don't like to have those things on my cars. Are you ready for this? The reason I don't have those kinds of things on my cars is because my wife likes to drive competitively. Who's clapping? Yeah, go Sandy. Some would call it she drives aggressively. Okay, she's raised in Chicago. What can I say, right? You got to drive that way in Chicago. In fact, a few weeks ago, we got a phone call from out of the blue. It was NASCAR wanting her to drive the Daytona today. I'm going like, really? She loves trading paint with cars on the freeway. Just loves it. You see, here's my point. And my point is not about my wife's driving, okay? Okay, just want to say that. But here's my point. Here's my point. We do stuff at times in our lives that doesn't make God proud of us. Isn't that the truth? We do stuff in our lives sometimes that doesn't make God proud of us. We've got to remember, folks, we have got to remember that people are watching us. People are listening to us. People are observing and taking in our behavior. And again, I said it a little bit ago, we are either drawing people closer to Jesus Christ by our behavior, or we're pushing people away from Jesus Christ by our behavior. And that leads me then to the second question. Why aren't Christians more interested in growing? Why aren't Christians more interested in growing? I think there are a couple of different reasons. Number one is this. We're busy. I know quite a few of you, and you are way busy. We're busy people. Look at this thing that took place in Luke chapter 9. It involves Jesus. Luke writes in Luke 9:57 and following, he says, "As they were walking along, someone said to Jesus, 'I will follow you wherever you go.' But Jesus replied, 'Foxes have dens to live in, and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to even lay his head.' He said to another person, 'Come follow me.' The man agreed, but said, 'Lord, first let me return home and bury my father.' But Jesus told him, 'Let the spiritually dead bury their own dead. Your duty is to go and preach about the kingdom of God.' Another said, 'Yes, Lord, I'll follow you. But first let me say goodbye to my family.' But Jesus told him, 'Anyone who puts a hand to the plow and then looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God.'" It sounds kind of like mean words from Jesus, doesn't it? Where's he coming from? Where's he coming from here? I mean, I thought Jesus wanted followers, right? You see, I think this is what Jesus is getting to. I think Jesus is pretty much saying this. You know what? Our tendency as followers of Jesus Christ, our tendency is to say, "Hey, I'm all in. I'm all in for following Jesus. Yeah, look at me. I'm all in for following Jesus." But then we just don't stick with it. I'm all in, but we don't stick with it. We're really not ready to grow, are we? Oh, I'm all in, and oh, yo, yeah. I want to grow. when it's convenient, when it doesn't get in the way of my schedule. Oh, I'll grow when it doesn't get in the way of my plans. You see, training and growing requires commitment. You see, whatever you pay attention to, whatever you pay attention to will grow. Someone said in our 8 o'clock service, they said, you know what, before you know it, it'll be 85 degrees. I said, I can't wait. Can't wait. When it gets to be springtime, a lot of you are going to be out planting gardens. It gets to be 85 degrees, you're going to be, you know, picking green beans. You're going to be maybe taking some sweet corn off the stock. You're going to be enjoying the garden, right? You see, whatever you pay attention to will grow. When you pay attention to your garden will grow, right? You pay attention to your family will grow. You pay attention to your golf game is going to grow. You pay attention to your spiritual life will then grow and grow and grow. Whatever you pay attention to will grow. Are you paying attention to your spiritual life? Well, let me get to it this way. Is your spiritual life growing? Well, no, it's not really growing. Are you paying attention to your spiritual life? Whatever you pay attention to will grow. Here's another reason people aren't interested in growing. This, you might find this surprising. They don't believe Jesus is really worth following. They don't believe that Jesus is really worth following. Now, some of you may be going, don't quite agree with that one. Not with you on that one. If you really believe Jesus is worth following, you would be all in. If you really believe that Jesus is worth following, you would be all in. Is Jesus worth being all in? There are a lot of people today, who struggle between their faith in Jesus Christ, their Christian walk with Jesus Christ. They struggle with that. Between that and their and the culture today. Oh, I know the Bible. I know Jesus says I need to be this or I need to be that or I need to go here or I need to do that. I know what Jesus says. But Lynn, come on, you've got to understand. Man, we live in the 21st century now. Culture today is so much different than culture back then. I'll give you that. In fact, I agree with that. Culture is a It's totally different today than it was back in the days of Jesus. But let me ask you this. Does Jesus know best or not? Is he truth? Does he speak the truth or not? When you look at Matthew chapter 28, Jesus said there at the end of the chapter, beginning in verse 18, he says, I want you to go out and I want you to make disciples. He didn't say, I want you to go out and make converts. He says, I want you to go out and I want you to make disciples. And a lot of times when we hear the word disciple, guess what we think? We think Christian. I want you to go out and make Christians. Understand, the word Christian in the New Testament is only found three different times. The word disciple in the New Testament is found 269 times. Jesus wants us to go out and make disciples. And when we hear someone say that so-and-so is a disciple, what do we think? We think, oh man, that person's serious. He's serious. She's serious. They're serious about their faith. A disciple means one who lives out what they learn. You live out what you learn. You're living out day to day. You just don't talk the talk. You just don't sound like a Christian. Oh, praise God. He answered my prayer. And then you go out and you live totally different. You're not only talking the talk, but you're walking the walk. People ask me, what's the purpose of the church? Is the purpose of the church to reach the lost, or is the purpose of the church to help Christians grow? You know what my answer is? Yes. Yes. That's what we're to do. You see, if we don't reach the lost, we are off base. We are off mission. And if we don't help grow people deeper in Jesus Christ so that they reproduce themselves and other people, if we don't do that, we're off mission. We're off base. We've got to do both. That's God's goal for the church. That's His purpose for the church. That's His purpose for you. Well, He must be talking to the person next to me. I'm talking to you. I'm talking to me. As individuals, that's what our purpose is. And so as we grow, as you grow, what's the benefit? What's the benefit of helping other people grow? What's the benefit in there? What is it? Here's one of the benefits. It will help you grow. It will help you grow. I think one of the biggest things to helping a person grow up is for them to have a kid. It's for them to have a child, right? Some of you are going, oh man, let me tell you, let's just talk here. Yeah, one of the benefits of having children helps you grow up. In fact, grandchildren, we've had our grandsons quite a bit over the, 6 or 8 months or so. And you know what? It helps us grow. It makes us really tired, but it helps us grow nonetheless, right? We have a blast with our grandkids at our house. We just have an absolute blast. We might have them a Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night, and, they go home. We might have them a Saturday night, just any combination of things. You know what the sweetest thing is to having your grandsons over to your house for any amount of time? The sweetest thing is to watch them walk out the door going to mom and dad's place. The sounds of silence. One time when we just had our first grandson, Noah, we took him home to Avon. Sandy and I got back home probably about 7 o'clock in the evening. Both of us just plopped in the couch with the TV on, and we went to sleep. We got up at 11 o'clock. We went to bed. We went to sleep right away. It's great. We love having them. But understand, your kids, your grandkids, they keep you on your toes, don't they? They keep you on your toes. And when you work with people, they keep you on your toes. They keep you on your game. They will keep you growing. You've got to keep growing. But the thing of it is, with your kids and your grandkids and other people, you've got to stay one step ahead of them. You've got to stay one step ahead of them. If you're helping someone grow in Jesus Christ, they're going to be asking questions. And if they are asking questions, you'd better be reading. And I'm not talking about just reading books, but you better be reading your Bible. You better be praying. You'd better be growing. And they don't know it, but they're actually helping you grow. Here's something you may or may not know. You may or may not realize, I'll put it that way. You are the best picture of Jesus other people have. You are the best picture of Jesus other people have. You see, when Jesus was here some 2,000 years ago on earth, we don't have any photographs of Jesus. It just, no technology, right? But you are the best photograph, you are the best picture of Jesus that other people have in their lives. And the more we look like Jesus, the more attractive we become. The more people want to know who Jesus is. And so here's the question for you today. Do you look more like Jesus today than you did 1 year ago? Do you look more like Jesus today than you did 1 year ago? Or maybe a better question would be this. Will you, in 2019, look more like Jesus than you did in 2018? Will you? And again, that goes back to the basic question, are you growing? Are you growing? Here's a wrong answer to that question, are you growing? Here's a wrong answer. Oh, I'm trying. Wrong answer. Oh, I'm doing my best. Wrong answer. Oh, I'm going to give the old college try. Wrong answer. Are you growing? Here's the right answer. Yes, I'm growing. That's the right answer. Most of the time, and by the way, let me say this before I say that. Make sure let's pick up our chairs after the service is over and put some tables out for tonight. Most of the time when church is over, except for today, but most of the time when we get done singing the last song with Garrett, Jackie, whoever's leading, most of the time when we're done singing, we say amen, we pick up our stuff and we file out of this building. We go to lunch. We go do whatever we're going to do for the day. Today before you leave, I want you to ask two people a question. Today before you leave, I want you to ask two people the question, are you growing? Well, I don't know anybody. Well, guess what? You get to meet somebody. Ask the question of two people, are you growing? Are you growing? And that presupposes that you have a relationship with Jesus Christ. You see, if you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, spiritually, you're not growing the way He wants you to grow. And so today, if you need to fix that, if you need to get into a relationship with Jesus Christ, today would be a great day to do that. It really would. You could get baptized today and tonight come to church and have a big pot of chili. Wonderful, right? If you do have a decision to make today, man, I'd like to talk to you about that, about Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads and pray, shall we? Our Father and our God, we are just, I guess we stand in awe, Father, at looking at our lives, at looking at how we live our lives. And Father, You still love us. You still care for us. And God, we're so, I mean, I'm just dumbfounded that You would love us to that degree. You would love me to that degree. And God, today I pray that as we have looked at Your Word and we've talked about this whole idea of growing, we'll not discount it as something, oh, it's just what the preacher said today. We got to grow. But God, we'll take Your words to heart, Scripture to heart, where we've got to be growing. We've got to grow deeper. And God, today there might be somebody here today that needs to take the next step in their faith journey, and that is saying, I want Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, my leader and my forgiver. And so God, if there's anybody here today that needs to make that decision, God, give them an extra ounce of courage to be able to say something to someone, even to come forward this morning and say it. And so God, help us. Help us to bring a smile to Your face. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd love to talk to you. If you have a decision to make today, I'll meet you up front. Let's stand. Let's sing together.